ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। शृण्वतां स्वकता कृष्णः पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तना हृद्यन्तस्तो ह्यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। कृष्ण हु प्यूरिफाइज बाय द प्रोसेस ऑफ हियरिंग एंड चैंटिंग, हु इज द बेनिफैक्टर ऑफ द डिवोटीज हु हियर अबाउट हिम, एंटर्स द हार्ट्स ऑफ द डिवोटीज एंड डिस्ट्रॉयज देयर सिंस। यस्याखिलामिव हविसुमङ्गलै वाचो विमिश्रा गुणकर्मजन्मभिः प्राणन्ति शुम्भन्ति पुनन्ति वै जगत् यास्तद्विरक्ता शवशोभनामताः। All sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities and appearances, and words that describe these three things animate, beautify and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories are like the decorations on a corpse. Prinvatam grinatam viryan yuddhamani harer muhuhu yatha sujataya bhaktya suddhenyatma vratadibihi. One who constantly hears and chants about the activities of the Lord, which can destroy sin, purifies his soul by that bhakti. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Shrinvanti ghayanti grinantya vikshanasah svaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha तैव पश्यन्त्यचिरेण तावकं भव प्रवाहो परमं पदाम्बुजम्। Persons who constantly hear, sing, speak, remember and sing to others about your activities, they alone, without delay, are able to see your lotus feet, which destroy the influence of material existence.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Yeah. Yasoda Nandana Rajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Ramana Chari Jamuna Jaya Radha Madhava Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare AC, walk to the London songs of the Prabhupada Gita, Kamachar Hardas Dalko Gita, Brambhino, Sri Gitchatanya, Prabhupada Chenan, Sri Reddit, the Dada, Shusti Gore, Bakhtar Rindhi Gijai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopu Govita, Shama Pundu Radha Kudri Giri Govardhan Gijai, Shivandavanda Gijai, Abhagavta Gijai, Ganges Mono Tulsi Bhakti Devi Gijai, Ananda Koti, Vaishnava Rindhi Gijai, Samavetta Bhakti Rindhi Gijai, Go Premanandi. All glory to Sri Madhavadis, all glory to Sri Madhavadis, all glory to Sri Madhavadis, all glory to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glory to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastachadesha Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadanda Shivasvi Gauravakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Verse 26. Sadam Bhagavate Shastre Nindam Anyatra Chapihi Manovak Karma Dandam Cha Satyam Samadamavati. Shraddham, faith, Bhagavate, related to the Supreme Lord, Shastre, in scripture, Anindam, not blaspheming, Anyatra, others, Cha, also, Apihi, indeed, Mana, of the mind, Avak, speech, Karma, and one's activities. Dandam, strict control, cha, and satyam, truthfulness, sama, self-control of the mind, dhammo, and of the external senses, api, also, Translation: one should have firm faith that he will achieve all success in life by following those scriptures that describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. At the same time, one should avoid blaspheming other scriptures. One should rigidly control his mind, speech, and bodily activities. Always speak the truth and bring the mind and senses under full control. Purport: the definition of Shraddha or faith is given as follows in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shraddha shabde vishwas kahe sudrata nischay krishne bhakti kole sarva karma krita hoy. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called Shraddha. Thus, a devotee should be confident that by carrying out the injunctions of Bhagavata Shastra or Vedic literature that directly rather than indirectly describe devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will easily achieve all knowledge and the perfection of life. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Manovakkaya Dandam, or strict control of the mind, speech, and bodily activities, means Manasa Vachika Kayaka Vikarma Rahityam. That is, one should rigidly abandon all sinful activities with his mind, speech, and body. As Srila Prabhupada has repeatedly pointed out, sense control does not mean stopping sensory activities, thus becoming like a dead body, but rather engaging one's mental, vocal, and bodily activities in the service of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, Iha yasya harer dasye kramana manasagira nikila svapyavasta sujivan mukta sa uchyate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, intelligence, and words is a liberated person even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. Thus, one can achieve vikarma rahityam, or freedom from unauthorized sinful activities, by engaging one's senses, mind, intelligence, and speech 24 hours daily in the service of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that only those pious living entities who are vikarma rahita, completely free from sinful life, can achieve freedom from the illusory duality of material nature. Yesham svantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who were freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. In his purport to this verse, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada stated, those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulated principles of religion, who have acted piously and have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, gradually, they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness, in the association of pure devotees who can deliver one from delusion. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted the following statement from Brahmanda Purana. One should have complete faith in transcendental literature such as Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures that directly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should also have faith in the Vaishnava Tantras, the original Vedas, and Mahabharata, which includes Bhagavad Gita, and which is considered the fifth Veda. The Vedic knowledge originally emanated from the breathing of Vishnu, and Vedic literature has been compiled in literary form by Srila Vasudeva, incarnation of Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Vishnu should be understood to be the personal speaker of all the Vedic literature. There are the Vedic literatures called Kala Vidya, which give instructions in material arts and sciences. Since all such Vedic arts and sciences are ultimately intended to be used to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava, saintly persons in the renounced order of life should never blaspheme such apparently mundane literatures. Because of such literatures are indirectly connected with the Supreme Lord, one may go to hell for blaspheming these secondary literatures. Shraddha indicates a faithful mentality which can be analyzed in two sections. The first type of faith is a firm conviction that all the statements of the multifarious Vedic literatures are true. In other words, the understanding that the Vedic literature, the Vedic knowledge in general is infallible is called Shraddha or faith. A second type of faith is the belief that one must personally carry out a particular injunction of Vedic literature in order to achieve his goal in life. A devotee of the Supreme Lord should thus apply the first type of faith in the various Kala Vidyas or Vedic material arts and sciences, but he should not accept such scriptures as pointing out his personal goal in life. Nor should he carry out any Vedic injunction that is contrary to the injunctions of Vedic Vaishnava scriptures such as Pancharatra. Thus, one should faithfully accept all Vedic literature as directly or indirectly describing the Supreme Personality of God and should not blaspheme any portion of it. Even for Lord Brahma, as well as for other creatures, down to the insignificant unmoving species such as trees and stones, blasphemy of any Vedic literature causes one to merge into the darkness of ignorance. Thus, the suras, the demigod sages and devotees of the Lord, should understand that the Pancharatra literatures such as well as the four Vedas, the original Ramayana, Srimad Bhagavatam, other Puranas, and the Mahabharata are Vedic literatures that establish the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the unique transcendental position of the Lord's devotees according to their status of spiritual advancement. Any other vision of Vedic literatures is to be considered an illusion. In all authorized religious scriptures, the ultimate goal is to understand that the Supreme Personality of God is the controller of everything and everyone, and that the Lord's devotees are not different from Him, although such devotees are to be understood in terms of their level of spiritual advancement. Lord Krishna stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarvairam eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta. I am the knower of the Vedas. Similarly, the Lord states, Yasmaksharamatito aksharat apichottama atosmi loke vede cha pratita purushottama. Because I am transcendental and beyond both the fallible and infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as the Supreme Person. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that one cannot develop the godly qualities mentioned in the preceding verses unless one accepts the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide Vaishnava spiritual master. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigasu sreyotamam. In this connection, he has quoted the following statement, Archayatva tu govinda tadiya nachayat tu ya nasa bhagavato gyeya kevalam dambika smrita. One who performs worship of Lord Govinda but fails to worship his devotees should be understood to be not a devotee of the Lord, but simply a victim of false pride. For one who has accepted shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee of Krishna, it is very easy to execute worship of the Lord Himself. For such a surrendered soul, there is no need of artificial penances and austerities. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has quoted the following, Aradito yadikaris tapasatata kim, anaradito yadikaris tapasatata kim, antarbahir yadikaris tapasatata kim, antarbahir yadikaris tapasatata kim. If one is worshipping Lord Hari, what is the use of performing extraneous penances? And if one is not worshipping Lord Hari, no such penances will save one. If one can understand that Lord Hari is all-pervading, within and without, what is the need of performing penances? And if one is not able to understand that Hari is all-pervading, all his penances are useless. A Vaishnava is always absorbed in executing his devotional service to Krishna. If a devotee becomes falsely proud of executing a severe penances and austerities and meditates on accepting and rejecting material objects, instead of thinking of his service to Krishna, his so-called austerities become an impediment to devotional service. a devotee should not be disturbed by the word jugglery of those who are against the devotional service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphatically pointed out that devotional service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord is the only means of achieving the final perfection of life. Therefore, a Vaishnava should practice mauna, or silence, by ignoring those literatures that are full of false arguments, such as those of the Mayavad school and those Karmakanda scriptures which promote sense gratification in the name of religious life. If one becomes overwhelmed by mundane unhappiness due to not achieving immediate success in self-realization, or if one becomes deluded by sense gratification, tries to take shelter of materialistic men and doctrines, one's devotional progress will immediately be checked. Similarly, if a devotee expresses love for things separate from Krishna, or tries to find fault in the process of devotional service or the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita in order to justify absorbing himself in the sense gratification of seeing things separate from Krishna, his progress in spiritual enlightenment will be seriously disturbed. Such an illusory concept is called dvitiya abhinivesha, or absorption in illusion. On the other hand, if one is attracted to the vibration of Vedic sound by the consensus of self-realized authorities called Vaishnava Parampara, and thus engages enthusiastically in Krishna Nam Kirtan, or chanting the holy names of the Lord, then one's practice of mona, or silence, is perfect. One should avoid prajalpa, or whimsical conversations unrelated to devotional service. Merely restraining the senses artificially without chanting and hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord cannot be considered the spiritual perfection. The example is given that although many domestic animals in the barnyard are sometimes forced to practice celibacy when isolated from one another, such animals cannot be considered brahmacharis, or spiritual students. Similarly, one is not considered spiritually advanced simply because of dry speculative arguments or temporary austerities. One must submissively hear the message of the Vedic sound vibration, especially as it is summarized in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself, Vedasya Sarvairaham Eva Vedya. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has warned us that if one becomes attracted to non-theistic ethical philosophies, such as those of the Buddhists and Jains, which glorify such mundane principles as ahimsa, or non-violence, one's mundane faith in godless ethics is spiritually suicidal. To restrict the senses by artificial austerities and to undertake huge social arrangements to facilitate mass sense gratification are both godless attempts to regulate human society in an artificial way that hides the eternal relationship of every living being with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the natural leader of society. When so-called moral philosophers spoil the opportunity of human life, the opportunity to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna in the name of ethics, such foolish persons commit the greatest violence against human society. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Doya Karaho Vichar Vichar Karile Chitte Pave Chamatkar. If you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply them to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find such mercy strikingly wonderful. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a Maha Bhagavata, or pure devotee of the Lord, is one who sees that both the material and spiritual worlds are non-different from Lord Krishna, being expansions of his potency, but also sees that Vrajendra Nandana Krishna keeps himself eternally distinct by his unique quality of all attractiveness. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord is aniketana, without a fixed residence, meaning that he accepts neither the gross nor subtle body as his eternal residence. Since one's so-called home and family are expansions of his body, such material creations are also not to be considered one's actual residence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vishame Bhavambudau. Kapriyata Vapada Pankaja Astita Duli Sadrasam Vijintaya. O Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Thus, a devotee should understand that his eternal residence is fixed in the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A Vaishnava should reject the gross sense gratification of living in the forest in the mode of goodness, in the city in the mode of passion, or in the gambling house in ignorance. A pure devotee may travel all over the world distributing Krishna consciousness, but he should never consider any material place to be his actual residence. One who has become mature in this understanding may take the Tridandi Sannyas order of life under the direct shelter of the Lord. The impersonalist cannot understand how the devotee of the Lord, although fixed in the duality of seeing himself as eternally different from the Lord, sees all existence as non-different from the Lord. Those who attempt to acquire knowledge by impersonal speculation based on their tiny experience of material cosmic manifestation cannot understand the transcendental reality of Ajinta Veda Veda Tattva, the absolute truth, simultaneous oneness with and difference from his creation. The process of assimilating this transcendental knowledge is given in these verses, starting with Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta. One is recommended to accept a bona fide spiritual master and serve him according to the directions of these verses. The essence of such instructions is that one should abandon the association of Mayavadi impersonalists, ritualistic fruitive workers, and those who are whimsically indifferent to the ultimate purpose of life, and instead one should devote himself to associating with the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A falsely proud neophyte may imagine himself a great devotee of the Lord without taking the company of the Lord followers. But without such association, it is not possible to become advanced in Krishna consciousness. So here we have a very long purport, which actually explains some of the previous verses, such as practicing mauna, etc., and being without a residence, aniketana, which can take on a, they say, impersonal type of meaning also. But as explained in the purport, we can give it a Vaishnava meaning also. And that is justified because this particular verse talks about having faith in Bhagavata Shastra. So in other words, it is not impersonal at all. The whole idea here is one surrenders to Guru and practices spiritual life, and one should have faith in devotional literature. So definitely it's not impersonal here. So based on that, then this whole first part explains the previous verses about how mona does not mean simply stop speaking, but not speaking about material matters or giving wrong interpretations of the scripture, and not having a residence, aniketanam, does not mean simply wandering around, which you can also do, but it actually means not being attached to the material body, because the body is also like a house, so we have no possessiveness of our material body. So in this way we can correlate these instructions with the Vaishnava conduct, which indicates that we don't isolate ourselves from society and meditate by ourselves. Rather, we can engage in preaching work and engaging our senses in serving the Lord. So this particular verse talks about manovak karma dundam, controlling the mind, words and actions, and having sama and dhamma, controlling the mind and controlling the external senses. So these features are common with jnana and yoga also. We have to control our mind, etc. However, for the Vaishnava, this is different. because the goal is different. And therefore, they act favorably for our devotional development. And because the goal is different, the way in which we control the mind, body, and words, and controlling the senses is different from that done in the process of jnana or yoga. So controlling the mind and senses in yoga means that ultimately you withdraw your senses completely from matter, stop thinking. And similarly in jnana, you have to stop your senses. In bhakti, rather than stop the senses and stopping the mind, we engage the mind and the senses. But still, it's control, because we're directing the senses and the mind and the words towards glorification of the Lord. So it's got a spiritual object. And if we do that, we do not accrue karma. We do not bind yourself to the material world by these actions. On the contrary, we destroy bondage to the material world by these actions. So it has a completely opposite effect than the normal activity of this material world. So normally the karmis are the jnanis and the yogis that want to stop activities because activities cause bondage. But if we do those activities for the pleasure of Krishna, then no bondage. Rather, those activities destroy all of our karmas, all of our previous bondage. So the activity is, there's nothing wrong with activity, but it's how we direct the activity. So we direct it towards the Supreme Lord for His pleasure, then we get very, very good result. That's how we interpret these verses. Why? Because it says here, Shraddham Bhagavate Shastre. One should have faith in the scriptures that glorify Bhagavan, Supreme Lord. So in other words, we're talking about Vaishnava scriptures. Now we do have many scriptures as mentioned in the purport. We have the Vedas, we have the Puranas, we have Pancharatra, we have Mahabharata, we have Ramayana, we have Smriti Shastras, etc. Many, many different scriptures. And in some of those scriptures, we will get different conclusions. And therefore we have Karma Mimamsa philosophy dedicated to going to Svargaloka, based on the Vedas. Or we have merging in Brahman, practiced by the Jnanis. And it's all mentioned in Vedic literature. we accept all of these literatures, but we accept the essence of those literatures, which is, the conclusion is, Bhagavan. The other processes and other things mentioned in the Vedic literatures like Karma Kanda and Jnana, etc., are all secondary features. So that's how we understand it. At the same time, we do not criticize. So it says, Anindam, do not criticize them. Those scriptures are there, and we don't criticize them. Why? Of course, they're not leading to the highest goal, so in that sense we could criticize them. Why are we not criticize? Because they're also authorized by the Supreme Lord as secondary processes for people who are unqualified for bhakti. So therefore, people can follow those if they don't have faith. Here it says, Shraddham Bhagavate Shastra, should have faith in the Bhagavata Shastra and the conclusion. If so, then you practice bhakti. And if you don't have faith, what do? Then you have to you follow the other scriptures. That is better than following no scripture, or following scriptures which are not approved at all by the Vedas. So, therefore, we accept them in one sense. At the same time, you understand that they got the wrong conclusion. It's not the ultimate thing to do. So, therefore, we don't criticize them unnecessarily, but understand they're doing a secondary process. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't disturb the mind of the ignorant people. So don't tell them to give up karma when they cannot do so. However, we have other injunctions. You should tell the truth. Don't hide the truth. Tell them the truth. So, one can tell the truth if they are qualified. It's like we say, don't preach to the faithless people. They're not qualified for bhakti. We don't preach to them. So if they're not qualified for jnana, we don't tell them to give up karma. If they're not qualified for bhakti, we don't have to discourage them from giving up jnana. Some renunciation is better than nothing. But if they have faith, then we preach to them about bhakti. So according to qualification, people are at different levels, and accordingly we can speak to them or whatever. So definitely we see the qualification of a person. In spite of that, there's also a scriptural injunction that in any case, the devotee should tell the truth. Even if they're not qualified or whatever. So therefore we see sometimes Prabhupada, he's condemning everybody, all the rascals and the materialists and everything like that. Foolish rascals are like this. So we should tell the truth also. So in certain cases, yes, we do that. Other places, then we don't disturb them, let them go on with their activity, and hopefully later on they progress and they get bhakti. So according to the situation, we can treat these people of lower faith in a different way. Sometimes we have to encourage them in their process, sometimes we encourage them to give it up and then take to the only highest process. So at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, give up everything, all dharmas, useless. Just do bhakti. So he preaches directly. Now one place he says, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant people, let them do their karma yoga. And at the Bhagavad Gita, he says, give up everything. Sarva dharma parityaja. So it looks like contradiction. So he says that because he's trying to indicate what is the highest truth, what is the highest goal. And therefore we have to distinguish it from everything else. So if he says, reject everything else, just do bhakti. Similar to we say Harinam, Harinam, Eva Kevalam, and just chant the holy name, nothing else, give up everything else. No karma, no jnana, no yoga, nothing, just bhakti yoga. So that is to emphasize the fact that that's the main process, the main shelter that we have. But though we chant the holy name, doesn't mean we don't do anything else. So we do have other processes of bhakti like sravanam, and sadhu sangha, and archana, etc. We don't give those things up. We have rules to follow. We have four regulative principles. We have so many other rules we follow. So it's not that we give up everything, but the sarvadharma padisha, in the sense that the main process, the main shelter is bhakti or surrender to the Lord, or chanting the holy name. So we should also be careful of statements made in scripture that according to the context, it should be applied in different ways. So, and finally, of course, we understand what the conclusion is, and if we have good fortune and we're qualified for bhakti, then we can directly practice the highest process, which is, of course, encouraged in the Srimad Bhagavatam here. So here, if one has faith in the Bhagavad Shastra, then one follows this and comes to the highest goal.
But when you say that Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, does it say that you have to only bhakti, or specifically says that you should only chant the name of Hare?
That says Hare Nama, only Hare, only the name of Hare. then we can say, well, we should reject all the other processes of bhakti, but no, we don't do that. But it emphasizes the main process. And we don't rely on other processes like karma or jnana, etc.
Some devotees, they say that they can chant the name of Narasimha rather than accept only Hari's name.
Yeah, well, Hari, of course, means any form of the Lord, any form of Bhagavan. So that's there, of course. And the Yuga Dharma is Harinam. It's not particularly Krishna's name. However, the Bhagavatam also indicates that Krishna Kirtan is the best Kirtan as well, because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. So then we say that's the highest Kirtan of all.
When you mention about truth, a devotee should always speak truth. But truth also should be palatable. I can't go to an ugly person and tell, you are ugly. He may get angry.
Yeah, of course. So I think Manu says that
you know, one should always speak the truth, one should never avoid the truth. At the same time, the truth should be spoken sweetly so that the person can accept it. Otherwise, he will not benefit from it. It will only be a disturbance. So we have to present it in such a way that it can be applied nicely.
In philosophy, like we know that in Kali Yuga, Harinam is best. We mentioned that we have to be very careful when we tell Jnanis and Mayavadis. When we say that, they get angry and start becoming offended. In the philosophy also, when we speak,
sometimes
they get affected. Our philosophy is, you are trying to push your philosophy on us.
Well, that's again, then where we have to not preach to the faithless. So in general audiences, sometimes we have all sorts of people, so it's difficult to separate them. And so some people may get upset if you say, only chant the holy name, give up karma again, etc. Because they're so attached to karma again, or whatever, so they may get upset by that. So we have to be careful.
Thank you.